On a chilly, grey and misty day, another group of visitors enters the site of Nazi Germany's death camp in silence through its infamous entrance gate. The inscription on top reads, Arbeit macht frei, or work sets you free. In reality, for the inmates, working in Auschwitz meant slave labor in inhuman, unsanitary conditions, starvation, constant beatings by camp guards, and summary executions by the SS. But the vast majority of those who were transported here by cattle trains never made it to the labor camp. From the railway ramp, they were taken directly to a place where they were stripped of their possessions and clothes and herded into gas chambers filled with lethal Cyclone B gas fumes. Their bodies were burned in crematoria and their ashes were dispersed. One of the most emotionally challenging sites is a crematorium which survived the war intact. The rest of them were blown up by the Nazis just before the Soviet Red Army reached the camp. Katrina is a young teacher from the German city of Dresden. She says that for her, entering the dark, suffocating space of the building with its blackened furnaces and roof openings through which the smoke used to escape was a most traumatic experience.
I think it was really touching moments, especially when you see like the last stop where the people were killed and you see all the black stuff on the roof and you know that the people are burned here and to know that normal people did this and it's not like this were all just monsters, I think it could happen again. So it's very important to think about it and to think about the whole catastrophe and to read the history books and to come here to see what happened and keep it in mind. I think it's more like that I think that people should know about it. I think more like a perspective of an educator to talk about it, and especially for young people, but as well for adults. Not everybody is open-minded.
You can grasp the scale of the mass killings in a huge room full of shoes of Jews who were executed on arrival, and in this room called the Book of Life. Here you can leaf through an entire wall of 16,000 pages, densely packed with the names of just some of the Jewish victims of Auschwitz, together with the names of the places they came from. These include towns and cities all over Europe. Altogether, some 1.1 million people were killed in Auschwitz, 90% of them Jews. Another room where pre-war images of children flicker on a tiny screen to the sound of a sorrowful violin is devoted to the so-called Porajmos, the genocide of European Roma and Sinti. Some 21,000 of them perished in the camp's gas chambers. Other victims include 75,000 Poles and 15,000 Soviet war prisoners, including a group of Muslims from Central Asian republics. A young American couple, Mary and Brad, are two of over 2 million visitors who have arrived in Auschwitz over the past year. They first visited the part known as Auschwitz I, where mostly Polish inmates were held in former military barracks. Mary and Brad then walked to another separate part of the complex 3 kilometers away, called Birkenau. It's a vast 170-hectare expanse of barren land, surrounded by electrified barbed wire and watchtowers, where the gas chambers and crematoria were situated.
This camp was much different than the other one. The other one, all the buildings had been kind of converted into museums with all kinds of information, and then this camp was more just raw, like how it was. There were like barracks where they lived that we could go in.
The railroad tracks where they brought in thousands of people every day.
It was just so bare and quiet.
Die Judenfrage ist keine Frage des Augenblicks. Die Judenfrage ist keine örtliche Frage. Die Judenfrage ist die Frage dieses Erdballs. Die Judenfrage ist eine Frage, die aus den Ewigkeiten kam.
One part of the museum exhibition focuses on Nazi ideology. It features newsreel footage of inflammatory anti-Semitic speeches by Nazi officials and the calls for a final solution to what they referred to as the Jewish question. Paweł Sawicki is press officer with the Auschwitz Museum. He says that visitors should draw lessons from the history of Nazi Germany, notably that ideologies should be approached with caution.
We should find a way to talk about the historical facts from this horrible place in a way that will inspire or will trigger people to have a reflection about our lives today. In many places in the world, we can see the effects of hateful ideologies. In many places of the world, people are dehumanized. In many places of the world, genocides are building up. Genocides never start with murdering, it always starts with ideology. In 40 years, there will be a different memorial in some place of the world that today these atrocities, these horrible things are happening, and there will be a visitor that will ask the same question about us today.
Those who maintain the site strive to preserve it for future generations as it was. Much of the infrastructure is deteriorating with age, 75 years after the end of World War II. To solve the problem, a joint international drive was launched 10 years ago, as Łukasz Lipiński of the Auschwitz Educational Center explains.
In 2009, Auschwitz-Birkenau Foundation was created to collect the money to preserve the site. The foundation collected already over 100 million euros. Just recently, Angela Merkel, who visited Auschwitz, said that Germany will give another 60 million to the foundation. It's not the first donation from the German state. Our specialists, conservators of wood, paper, develop methods to make sure that their job will help the site to last. We have many volunteers that work for the museum each year.
Just outside the camp perimeter, across a busy street, stand ordinary residential blocks of flats. People who live there can see the actual camp barracks from their kitchen windows. So what does it feel like to live in the shadow of Auschwitz? 49-year-old car mechanic Antoni says that the industrial town of Oświęcim is home to 45,000 people, a place where people go about their daily lives. But when asked where he comes from, Antoni never mentions Auschwitz.
I call it Oświęcim because I live in the town of Oświęcim. I've lived here since I was a child, so I'm used to the fact that the camp is situated right next to it. At school, they used to take us on guided tours around the campsite. I also went there on my own. It seems to me that while the camp is there, the town lives a life of its own. We don't tend to think about the camp victims on a daily basis because we have our lives here.
But as a first-time visitor, you're bound to be overwhelmed by the sheer horror of what went on in Auschwitz. Those who have taken the tour agree that it's a place everyone should visit, especially at a time when its last survivors are in their 90s. Once they are gone, it will be up to successive generations to tell the story of Auschwitz, to make sure that a tragedy like this never happens again. Julian Berner, DW, on the site of the former Nazi death camp of Auschwitz.